Hello and welcome to Como Explained. It's a brand new podcast from the KBIA Newsroom. We're looking at the news and issues that affect Colombia, and we break them down for you. I'm Scott Pham, Digital Content Director here at KBIA, and I'm here with Ryan Femuliner. He's the Assistant News Director. Say hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Okay, so in addition to being a relatively smart guy, Ryan is the brand new host of our weekly talk show, Intersection, right?
That's right. Yeah, taking over for Ruben Stern, who's moved on to another project. And I'm excited. It's fun. Yeah. Fun show.
So your first show as the official host was this Monday, right?
It was, yeah. And the show was about, well, it started out being about graduation rates in Colombia, but that obviously took us a lot of different places, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit today, but...
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why we're taking this topic, which is graduation rates and the achievement gap in Colombia. So now Intersection, the show that you do, it's a show that really goes deep into a lot of important issues in Colombia. But what we want to do with this podcast, Como Explained, is step back a little bit and get you the whole picture. So that's what I'm making you do, Ryan, a little bit against your
will. All right. All right. No, I'm agreeing to be here. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So, like I said, you're a smart guy, a little bit smarter than average.
I'll take that.
I think you're capable of doing
this. I'll put that on my next resume.
Okay. Okay, so on Monday's show, we tackled high school dropout rates and the achievement gap. So help me understand just how big of a problem is the high school graduation rate. Is it a big problem?
Yeah, well, I mean, in Colombia, you mean, I guess? I mean, in Colombia, it's similar to a lot of larger school districts in that we have an alternative school, right? And that's kind of something to spell out right at the beginning, that we have Rockbridge and Hickman High School here in Colombia, and then we have Douglas High School, which is an alternative school that for a number of different reasons, students end up going to that school. They may not be succeeding in the regular school environments, for lack of a better term, in Hickman and Rockbridge, or they may have behavioral issues. There are a lot of different reasons people end up at Douglas. But when you look at graduation rates in Colombia, dropout rates, and Rockbridge has the best, if you will, record, right? They have really low dropout rates, like less than 3%. The state average is a little over 3%. Hickman High School has a little bit more troubles with it, closer to 4%. But then Douglas High School is around 37% of the students at Douglas. Now, that's a limited sample size, but still, that's a much larger chunk, right? So Douglas High School is really where the students that are at risk of dropping out end up for a number of different reasons. And so that's where the real work goes into those students to try to figure out when they're at the high school level already, what do you do to try to keep them in school?
And that's interesting. It sounds like you're saying that that's could be skewing the numbers a little bit. But, I mean, if they weren't at that school, they could be at another school and potentially drop out of that too.
Sure, yeah. And because a lot of those students would have, if Douglas did not exist, those numbers I mentioned before at Hickman and Rockbridge would likely be different, right?
And probably much, much worse, right? Because they're getting resources that they might not get at those other schools at Douglas, right?
That's pretty likely, yeah. I mean, because as we talked about a lot on Intersection with the new, well, relatively new principal at Douglas, they're trying to specialize, work around, you know, create an environment that works for these students that wasn't, you know, different than what was they were experiencing in the other school district or other schools. So yeah, they at those other schools, you know, really, I guess to step back for a second, the average rate is still just a little higher than the state rate in Colombia for a dropout rate.
So now, as a city, we're actually not doing too bad.
Not doing too bad, and it fluctuates. Mm-hmm. You know,
so it's what one is of the national things. Rate?
So the let's see, the state rate is around. Right at about 3%, and these are from 2012, I think, was the last numbers I saw. So around 3%, and I think Columbia's was about 3.4%, and that did take Douglas into account. And then nationally, I don't know the national number off the top of my head, but I think it's in that same range. I think, you know, Missouri typically and almost everything, we're kind of in the middle of rankings, right? 18 to 35, usually we're somewhere in that ranking on most different things in education, health, that kind of stuff.
Right. So, I mean, suffice it to say, Colombia is not doing particularly bad.
No.
But we're not doing particularly well either.
No. We're not the exception or anything like that. We're kind of – in fact, in Missouri anyway, we're lagging a little behind. But that said, like I said, you know, we're a larger school district than, you know, given Missouri's size, we're still a relatively large school district in Columbia.
So it seems like if you want to bring that number down, it's Douglas High School that you want to be concentrating on.
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, you want to talk about earlier education, like early childhood education, or, you know, there's a lot of research that talks about the sixth grade being a really key time frame for students, that if you're not going to school or you're failing math or English, or you're having a behavioral issue that gets you kicked out of school or punished, those are significant issues that if you're having those issues at sixth grade, there's some research that shows that actually there's a 75% chance you drop out of school. So there's a lot of stuff earlier in the game that can make a big difference. But yeah, if you're talking about high school students and just making the difference between decision A to stay in school, decision B to not. Douglas is really where a lot of that work happens, for sure.
So what are some of the things they're doing there to try to affect that decision?
So Erica Neville, I want to say her name right, Neville like Seville, she told me. She took over a couple of years ago. So, I mean, obviously, just like most alternative schools, they know that they have to have a slightly different environment than others. But still, she's taken a lot of measures to reinvent the place. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about, I've seen reported elsewhere. We haven't covered a lot of it, but I did talk to her a lot about this on Monday as well. But they've gone and made a lot of changes in their staff, actually. She said that she targets specifically Douglas graduates, actually, to come in as staff. But she's trying to create an environment that works for these students. A lot of the things she's doing get some negative feedback, frankly, from the community, right? There's been a lot of talk about the staff that's leaving and that, you know, there's some behavior that's permitted at that school that wouldn't be permitted at other schools. You know what I mean? Not really being as strict on some rules, things like that, to kind of and I don't mean that in a negative way, but, you know, not being as authoritarian in the way that you treat students. Because a lot of students that have issues that might be close to dropping out, at-risk students, if you will, don't react well to that type of instruction and that type of behavior, right? So if that's not shown to be a effective technique with a student that's already, I mean, if you're at Douglas, a lot of the time you're identified, you would probably fit in that at-risk category, right? And so if you know that that behavior is going to have an adverse effect on them, if it's not, you know, everything you do, you can only so much of it as a teacher can be calculated, right? Some of it's just reactionary. But if you're going to take a calculated effort to treat them the way that's going to be most effective and successful for them, then maybe being less authoritarian and trying to relate to them on a different level than you might at a traditional setting will actually be more effective.
So they're worrying about kind of scaring them off of the school environment in some ways?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there was a lot of talk on Monday with Erica, and we also had Lorenzo Lawson, who works with the Youth Empowerment Zone there. There was a lot of talk with both of them about just the school culture. Lorenzo talked about he called it the hip hop culture, where there is just this mentality that you almost have to act out for the reasons of respect, I guess, if that makes sense. It's just it's a cultural behavior that doesn't fit in at Columbia, at Brockbridge High School.
Well, doesn't
right?
fit in a lot of high school environments.
Right? Yeah, not at all. Like, yeah, there's all these rules. You get in school suspension for whatever, you know, for this type of behavior that might be seen as, you know, a more acceptable behavior at home, right, or in your community. And so for a student, that you might not even understand why you're in trouble.
Right. So in a more traditional high school environment, if you act out, you usually get removed from the teaching environment.
Right.
So they're trying to let them stay there.
Right.
Right. So, right. I mean, is that working? Are they saying, like, okay, you're acting out, you're not participating, we're just going to teach you anyway and hope something sticks?
Yeah. I mean, she said this multiple times. It's not measurable yet, right? Because she's only been there for about 2 years. I think, you know, first year she was kind of just taking over. I think really some of these changes she's just starting. And I think that was, again, some of this stuff was already there. So I'm not going to say that this is a completely new endeavor for her.
But she's really embracing it.
But she's really embracing that. She's somebody that came from she worked at the University of Missouri teaching people that wanted to become educators. I mean, she's done a lot of research, and she was quoted as saying one of the reasons she took this job was to stop thinking about theory and start doing it in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why she likes to encourage graduates of Douglas to come back, right?
Right, right. Because they're in that mentality, right? She kept talking about square hole, round peg, right? And making sure that if there's a way to get the peg that actually fits, right? Because these students just aren't fitting into the system currently is why they're at Douglas most of the time,
mm-hmm.
Or a good amount of the time. There's a few other things she's trying to do too. You know, at Douglas, she's trying to start a couple sports programs there for students because a lot of times they don't have an outlet, right? And that's when students get in trouble, when they don't have an outlet to spend their time in a productive, positive way, right? And so things like that, you know, and she, you know, but they also have to work with a lot of these organizations. You know, the things that always, some of the best things that happen during Intersection or any talk show, as you well know, always happen off mic, right? So we have like a minute break in the middle of Intersection. And the minute when we went off, you know, Erica and Lorenzo started talking to each other. And we're saying, you know, she's saying, you know what, when it comes down to it, Lorenzo, some of these kids that I'm dealing with, like they just need a lawyer because they're in legal trouble. You know, they if they're not, you know, like you can try to work with them all you want, but there's still holes, right? There are still things that aren't, that these students that are at risk of dropping out aren't getting caught.
See, this is why we need this show.
Yeah, yeah,
because
sure.
You don't get that stuff on air. That's great.
So, you try to bring it out, but she was a little more cautious and maybe she won't be happy that it was, but nothing's off the record with a journalist, right? She didn't say, she's sitting there in a studio, right?
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, there are still gaps, right, in Columbia. Because Youth Empowerment Zone, there are a lot of other programs like that that try to work with these students outside of school. Like, that, like it, you know, sports are an opportunity, but there are, you know, where do you go after school? You know, because all these students are dealing with issues that, you know, most students at Rockbridge and Hickman aren't. You know, they're dealing with homelessness. They're dealing with not having, they're only eating at school, right? They're not getting meals at home, you know, that, and these are the things that, you know, are common to dropouts across the country. These aren't just Columbia issues. These are USA issues, Missouri issues, you know.
Yeah. And these are race and class issues too, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah. One thing that you guys talked about on the show that it's obvious, but we should still say it is that, you know, graduation rates are worse among people of color, that they are especially worse among black men. And that's one of the issues that came up a lot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 9% of black students in Columbia drop out compared to just a little under 3% white students. Almost every other race that's at least categorized by the state was around 3% other than black males, or blacks, not just black students, not just males.
Right.
But yeah, 9%. So that's, you know, completely disproportionate, right? And so that's what we spent a lot of time talking about, definitely. Again, a big, and there was just so much talk about the community as well, which, you know, there are, again, programs like the Youth Empowerment Zone, but really, you know, they were crediting Superintendent Chris Belcher saying, you know, that he has tried to make some steps, has made the achievement gap an issue in Columbia, you know, where rather than just turning a blind eye to it like a lot of administrators will, because it's one of those things that seems so big that you can't fix.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why is it such a big deal if students drop out? You know, a lot of students drop out not just because they have a unstable environment, but because they want to start working and they want to get into the workforce.
Right.
Why is that not a good thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the students themselves, obviously, there's tons of studies that show that they make less over their lifetime. You know, there's for the students themselves, I think that's probably pretty obvious. But one thing I think that's interesting with that question is, why does it matter to everybody else, right? Why does it matter to me and you, or, you know, whoever else is walking out on Broadway right now? Why should they care if they have a kid that's getting a 4.0 at Rockbridge? The average return on investment on a dollar spent on education for students is $2 to $3, basically for society, not for that student, but on tax revenue over their life. The less amount of money you're going to have to spend on them for, you know, different services offered by federal and state government. Basically, for society, it's a much better thing financially, right? I mean, because like you could talk about, of course, it's better for society for everybody to be educated, like on an emotional sense and on a human rights sense.
Right, but there's a dollar amount.
If you're black and white, why does this matter? There's the numbers to show this is a big deal for society, right?
Yeah.
For to think about this in a realistic way and not just discard people because you still end up paying for them and they're still a big part of how everything works in your world, regardless of what you think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I want to leave it there. I want to end it there. Is there something else that you think people really need to know about this?
I guess just that it seems like, to me, it seems like Colombia is working on this, which is a good thing.
There are some communities where it seems like it's not the high priority.
Right. And that's kind of what I feel like. Lorenzo and Erica knew each other really well because they interact so regularly, which I think was what they were hoping can happen on a larger scale. Like Colombia is on the right path, it sounds like, but I think it seems like there's still a ways to go. There are still, again, with students that are in are dealing with criminal justice issues or students that are homeless there was just a youth homeless shelter that closed recently here in Colombia. I mean, there are still issues where students are slipping through the cracks. But I think it sounds to me like, not to be, a completely silver lining guy here, but I do think that Colombia is on the right path where, the administrators acknowledge this is an issue and say, look, let's realistically figure out what we can do. They make changes to try to do it. But that said, there's still a ways to go, right? And that sounds cliche, but I think it's true. But I think that's kind of exciting, too, to see what happens. That the last caller we had on the show was somebody who had dropped out when he was a student. And he said, when I dropped out, there weren't these kind of services you guys are talking about today for somebody like me. And my life would have been a lot different if this had existed. So, I think that was encouraging, I know, to Lorenzo and Erica. And I think, it's kind of interesting to see how times have changed. But yeah, I think there's obviously still room for improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for Como Explained. You should look for us on iTunes, but not now. It's going to take maybe a few days because Apple. This is new. You can't have them put a podcast up and you don't have a podcast yet.
They want to make sure that we're actually smart.
They want to make sure that we actually, they're going to listen. They're totally going to listen. No, but in a few days, we're going to be on iTunes. You're going to find us on the website. If you have anything to say about the show, tweet us at KBIA or send an email to news@kbia.org. That actually goes straight to Ryan's inbox. I'm not kidding. I will make new email for the show soon, but all we have right now is news@kbia.org. Okay, so I'm Scott Pham.
I'm Ryan Pham-Uhlener.
Okay, all right. Thanks. See you next time.